We'll begin. Thank you. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held March 18th, 2024?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Moving on to the first order of business, PCR 32-24, resolution relative to bids. May I have a motion for the meeting held on March 18th?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Solicitor.
Before you proceed to the bid package, I would just like to let the record reflect I'll be recusing on bid 2024-322. I have the appropriate form for the clerk, and City Solicitor Mike Rosillo will be sitting in to answer legal questions.
Thank you, Solicitor Walsh. Thank you, Solicitor Ursillo. Bid number one is 2024-322, City Hall Plaza Site Improvement. May I call the mayor? Mayor, please introduce, and then you may begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bid, as you said, is on City Hall Plaza. Special circumstances, and I believe there's been a legal challenge, so I'm going to turn it over to Solicitor Ursillo to take the reins right now.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Chairman, the city has received a protest filed by Bentley Companies LLC regarding this particular bid. Bentley maintains that it was the low bidder on the project and should have been awarded the bid. As you are aware, our consultant Beta Group is recommending that the bid be awarded to Tower Construction Corporation. So the issue is this. Was Bentley the low bidder, or was Tower Construction the low bidder? The issue with Bentley's bid is that although it wrote a lump sum that is the lowest bid on the bid sheet, adding up the individual unit prices on its bid sheet reaches a higher number that does not qualify as the lowest bid. Now, as you can imagine, when bids are filed with the city on a daily basis, issues like this, whether they be clerical issues, Scrivener's errors, et cetera, they come up from time to time. The RFP that the city publishes actually anticipates these types of issues because the city can't be in a position of having to review and decide what happens if someone makes a mistake. So the bid document itself clearly states, in the event that there is a discrepancy between the unit prices and the extended totals, meaning the lump sum, the unit prices shall govern. So there is already a mechanism in place pursuant to your bid documents that say if there is a clerical, Scrivener's, or other addition error, it's the unit prices that will control. So in accordance with the RFP, the city, in my determination, is bound to resolve the discrepancy on Bentley's bid sheet by looking at the individual unit prices according to which Bentley is not the lowest bidder. And in the correspondence you received from Beta, dated March 29th, 2024, it lists a number of issues. It just wasn't one. As a matter of fact, it was four different issues that this particular bid had in terms of the numbers. So I also want you to know that approximately 3 o'clock this afternoon, Bentley did in fact, Bentley Companies brought a lawsuit against the city, filed it this afternoon to prevent the city from moving forward with awarding the bid this evening. The judge, Judge Leach, declined to issue a temporary restraining order to stop the city from going forward with its bid this evening. It is my strong recommendation that you award the bid in accordance with the recommendation that you received from Beta and in accordance with my legal determination that the bid should in fact be awarded to Tower based upon the clear and unambiguous language in your RFP, your request for proposals. I also know that obviously Bentley is here this evening, represented by counsel, and at some point I assume will want to be heard. And I will answer whatever questions anyone from the council may have concerning my recommendation or this issue in general.
Thank you, Solicitor. So in the right order, I think that it would be proper just to ask any of the members of this committee if there are any questions pertaining to the exact information that the solicitor has given us.
Not at this time.
Thank you.
Not on the information the solicitor provided, but can we have a few minutes to read this memo?
Absolutely. And the memo has been split. Has anyone on the council, or would if they would like, Councilman Ricks?
Thank you. Just to start out, before we get into the substance, I did have a question for our city solicitor. I'm wondering, I'm not sure if you happen to have this handy in front of you, but if there was a case number assigned to the matter that was heard in front of Judge Leach earlier today?
Not yet. The case number has not been assigned yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any questions for members of the council concerning the information provided by the solicitor, Councilman Lattisaw?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to just defer my questions or comments until we have a whole lot more discussion, which apparently we're going to.
Okay, just from that, I'm looking for clarification if council members have any questions towards the solicitor on the explanation of the city. The information that we have is in document from Beta, information pertaining to the description of the bids and the memorandum. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just to confirm with the city solicitor who's representing us on this, you have given us a documentation here, and your position is the city council is good to move forward, that the recommendation that the administration is going to make to us regarding this project, the bid process, was done in the correct fashion, and that we are able to move forward on this in your legal opinion.
In my legal opinion, yes to all of the above, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And then, Mr. Chairman, I don't know, it's obviously your committee. Do we want to tackle the legal stuff here while the solicitor is here? I know there may be some issues, however you want to run it. But if we want to take questions on just the legal, if there's, I know there is individuals here that have legal counsel. It's up to you, Mr. Chairman.
I would, Mr. President, that is my intent. Thank you. Yes, that's so I will then go to the audience, to the members of the audience, and to ask any questions they have on any of the information that was brought up by the solicitor.
I think just the legal questions while the solicitor is here to answer those legal questions, and then we will get into the actual bid itself and go through the normal process.
Thank you. First, before I go to the public, I'll Councilman Gebhardt.
Just a quick question. Solicitor, are you aware, was a similar evaluation of the Tower Group line item pricing done to the same level of depth that the Bentley was?
The only information I have, Counselor, is the information in the correspondence from Beta dated March 29.
Okay.
They obviously compare the numbers in columns in that correspondence.
Okay. All right. I'll reserve that question for Beta after we finish with the legal matters. Thank you.
Councilman, I could have answered that question. Beta analyzed both bids, and they can speak to that. We have representatives here from Beta.
Okay. So as of right now, Mayor, what we'll do is, are there any questions, concerns of the legal documentation or the legal issues that were brought up? Are there any further questions, comments from members of this council on the legal documents that were brought up by the solicitor? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Chairman. Oh, that didn't all come through. Thank you, Chairman. Let's see. I actually just was able to locate that case involving the Let's see. Specifically, it's entitled Plaintiff's Emergency Motion for Issuance of a Temporary Restraining Order and Preliminary Injunction Against the Defendant, City of Warwick. So it's, as I was taking a very brief look at this, I believe that the complaint itself is about 7 pages long. I see that the that motion is 10 pages long, has about 75 pages of exhibits. And I see situations like this where a party goes to court, Superior Court, seeking an immediate temporary restraining order. Judge Leach, he has an excellent reputation. I would certainly think that Judge Leach would carefully weigh the issues based on the information that's presented. And from my general familiarity with temporary restraining orders, it's a matter of weighing a couple of, really two standards here, a standard as to the likeliness of success and a standard as to whether there is that type of imminent harm that would come as a result of the TRO not being granted to the aggrieved party.
Council so, Ricks, can I just interrupt? And I know you're giving us the standard. I just want you to know Judge Leach never reached the actual standard. He ruled on the fact that he didn't have a verified complaint in front of him with an affidavit, et cetera. So we didn't really get into those legalities, just so you're aware.
Oh, thank you very much. I was actually, that's the direction I was going, was I thought that he would have ruled on one or both of those standards, but yes, thank you for clarifying that he did not reach that due to that prerequisite. That
is correct.
Yeah, that answers my question on that item. I suppose, let's see, my other question for the council solicitor, or excuse me, the city solicitor acting as council solicitor in this circumstance, is that would you have confidence in the city's ability to defend itself against this type of motion for a TRO on one or both of those standards in the event that it did go to a hearing?
I am absolutely confident. There are never any guarantees in litigation, but yes, I am confident.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just looking at this updated memorandum that we received here earlier, and it states that and it's dated March 29th, 2024, to Mr. Kravitz. It states that on the back page, it says, accounting for the above identified discrepancies, Beta Company's total base bid for items 1 through 97 should be $7,541,785. So my question is, does any member of the city council have those items 1 through 97? You do? How'd you get them?
The full bid tabulations are on the city website.
Does anyone have a hard copy of those? I'm asking because I don't. And as you all know, we've gone down this road before.
So, Councilman, the question is the stuff available to be observed and seen? Yes, it is. And I understand, but respecting the time of the solicitor and respecting the issue that is at hand, the stuff is available via a click away on the internet. So it is public. That is an acknowledged, acceptable form of communication. So to clarify and to understand this right, is that the city entrusted Beta to go ahead and review and meet the standard and take this over. So Beta is the one who's making the recommendation, and their recommendation was made. The company, one of the bidding companies, debated it. It was filed into court, and the court refused to hear it. And here we are now getting ready to vote on this. The information is there, but the information you need is all available online.
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, could I finish my comment?
Well, you asked a question. I was giving you an answer. Go ahead. Please continue.
So with all due respect to a $7,219,000 bid, I think we can spend whatever time is necessary to go through this.
Yes, a lot of us, good point, Councilman, and a lot of us have spent a lot of time doing the research on this and not waiting to get to the council to talk about it.
Would it be okay if I continue my communication without being interrupted?
Please do.
Thank you. So the point here is you've heard me numerous times speak about the problems with bid process and information that we receive, particularly in hard copies. And there's a couple of us, maybe a few on this council, who need the hard copies.
Councilman, again, you're asking about the specific bids. Councilman, I am going to interrupt you now because we're talking about the legalities. We're trying to address one issue and you're going off on another tangent.
No,
I'm asking you to redirect from the legalities that the solicitor provided to us. Do you have any further questions or comments?
I'm not off on a tangent. We're talking about items one through 97.
The comments that were made by the solicitor, yep. Do you have any further questions or comments?
No.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from the public concerning this discussion? Yes, please.
Good evening, Chairman, members of the council. I'm Alan Fung from Lepus here in La Piscina, here on behalf of Bentley Companies, along with Jackson Palmentier. And Jackson can speak, he's from Mike Kelly's law firm. He can speak to the substance of that lawsuit. And it is, as Solicitor Ursella indicated, that the judge did not reach the merits of it because this was a rush scenario, we didn't have the opportunity to file a verified complaint to get to the merits of it. But in any event, you know, I'm here on behalf of Bentley, which is a Warwick-based company, which some of you may know is located right on Post Road. The principal, Jason Pannone, is a Warwick resident. He's here as well. And principally, under Ordinance 56-5, being Warwick-based should be a strong factor also that is considered an award of contract. But here's the bottom line. You know, we heard what Mr. Ursillo said as far as the legal arguments. The fact of the matter is we shouldn't even have gotten to this point. And the reason that I say that is this could have been worked out if Beta Group had just picked up the phone and contacted Mr. Pannone or someone at Bentley concerning this so-called miscalculation. We wouldn't be at this point. Because they would have learned, as you saw in the bid protest letter that was provided to each of you and the attached exhibits that show, you know, a lot of these points, it was basically a Scrivener's error that happened where, on Bentley's part, where it transcribed its internal bid numbers to the city's bid sheet and had Beta, you know, made a phone call to Mr. Pannone or anyone at Bentley, they would have known that Bentley's number, that 6.884 number was correct and a number that they stand by and stand by with the bid bond. We wouldn't have to get into this unit price, lump sum price. They are the lowest bidder. On top of that, you know, one of the things that we want to highlight too, and Jackson can come up in a few minutes and kind of detail that second part about the RFP, and we're going to be awaiting you know, Beta's comments too, because there are clearly errors on Tower's bid as well. Clearly not identifying different specifications that were required. I'll just highlight just a couple of examples. You know, they didn't respond on the minority portion. They also didn't include any required submission regarding its proposed subcontractor, you know, whereas Bentley did. So for all of these reasons, we're asking that you either table this consideration tonight, even to the next meeting, so that we can have a more in-depth discussion with Beta, with Mr. Orsillo, so we don't have to get to the point of litigation, or at the very least, give us the opportunity to hear us out on this, because we shouldn't be at this point where we are today. So I'd like to call up Jackson and kind of highlight a little bit more of those areas.
Thank you. Good evening, Jackson Parmenter. I submitted, and I hope you all have a copy of the bid protest we submitted this morning. I signed that bid protest. I was involved in drafting that bid protest. And right off the bat here, you know, the goal of this proceeding, and let me step back. I was a bit surprised. I don't know the procedural ins and outs of how this particular bid, this particular item on the agenda got on the agenda, but it was our understanding at the outset that this would be dealt with at the May 22nd, or I believe the May 8th town council meeting. So when you look at the bid minutes, that's what it says. We didn't realize we were going to be here in an expedited fashion trying to ram this thing through, for lack of a better phrase. But in any event, we're here. And I think it's worth pointing out, Bentley's bid is the lowest. It may not be the lowest when you calculate out the bid line items, because there was this discrepancy, which, by the way, in the bid protest letter, we were able to show exactly where that occurred. Now, had Beta or whoever else was reviewing this bid said, they have a lump sum that's lower than the tabulated bid items, certainly the city can go to Bentley and request clarification and say, why is there this discrepancy here? Attorney Orsillo makes the point that he doesn't want to put the city in a position of always having to do this. Well, I don't think that's the case in this particular situation, because it's not often where you have a lump sum bid, and it's even a unique bidding situation where you have a lump sum bid, and then you also have a schedule of values or a schedule of bid items that you need to take your lump sum bid and plug in values for. At the end of the day, the lump sum bid is the lump sum price. It is what Bentley has been approved to obtain its bid bond for and what they will perform the work for, period, end of story. That could have been made very clear. As a matter of law, the goal of the Rhode Island Purchasing Act is to obtain the best work at the lowest price. That is what Bentley is giving the city of Warwick. If they elect to reconsider, table this, maybe have some discussions with Bentley about the discrepancy, get clarity, and realize that if they go with Bentley's lump sum bid, which is their actual bid number, they will be getting the best price for the city of Warwick to the tune of almost $200,000. There's a few things, and we can talk more about what Bentley did, but I think it's fairly clear. It was a Scrivener's error. It was whatever you want to call it, clerical error. It is what it is. We're not hiding that. It was a mistake. And it's too bad, and it's unfortunate that we're here having to deal with it, but it was ultimately originally our error. But we're trying to correct it, trying to give an opportunity for you, the city, to come back to us and say, we want to get the best deal. We want to comply with our obligations of the Rhode Island Purchasing Act to get the best deal for the city. And in so doing that, they should negotiate with Bentley. Bentley, why is your lump sum what it is? That's the best deal for the city. There can be no dispute, zero dispute. There shouldn't be any legal issue with respect to having that conversation. That happens all the time in competitive negotiations. That happens all the time with respect to public solicitation projects. It happens with DOT. It's absolutely 100% allowed and legal, but it wasn't done here. So here we are. With respect to the actual RFP, let's talk about that. Section 1.14 regarding comparison of bids. That says the contract will be awarded to the lowest responsive bidder. Now, I think I've established that Bentley is in fact the lowest bidder, despite the clerical error, right? Their lump sum price is in fact the lowest, but they also have to be responsive. Bentley's bid was responsive. I'm not sure regarding what other issues existed that Beta dug up relative to Bentley's bids. I haven't been advised of that, but we can do an APRA request and get that information. But what I do know is that with respect to Towers' bid was non-responsive. So not only was Tower's bid not the lowest, it was non-responsive, and here's why. Specifically, every bidder on this project, so here it was just Bentley and Tower, they were required to submit under the quality assurance provisions of the RFP certain subcontractor qualifications. So for example, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is section 1.02 quality assurance of section 13.8.11. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 areas where a respondent to an RFP is required to produce these items. The first one states that the contractor installing and construction of the primary and secondary refrigeration systems must have successfully installed and constructed refrigeration systems and ice rink floors for 5 ice rinks, ice rink construction projects that are similar to this project and completed with the past 5 years. Well, they didn't provide that information. We did. With respect to the second, this involves the contractor's concrete subcontractor. Must have successfully completed the placement and finishing of concrete on 8 concrete ice rink floor construction projects within the past 5 years. They didn't provide that. What they did say is we'll provide that after we're awarded the project. In what world does that make sense to say, we are going to tell you, don't worry about it. We have qualified individuals. We'll tell them to you after we formally
get awarded. Mr. Parmenter, I got to interrupt.
Sure.
For clarification, and I'm sorry, this was debated at the court earlier. Right now, the legal discussion is the disqualification of Bentley from this bid. And you're swaying over to the issues that the other company had. I'd like to redirect us, if you don't mind. So you have issue with the Beta, correct? You have issues with the rating system of Beta. Because it sounded like you said the general theme that I'm listening to is that Beta did not contact Bentley.
Yes.
Concerning.
Correct.
So if I'd like to bring up Beta, because to answer that, if they'd like to come
sure.
up, I'd like to bring them up to
sure.
reply
but
to that.
But if I could just get through the balance of this, Judge Leach did say he didn't make a decision today. Just so you all know, the solicitor is correct. Judge Leach insinuated that he may in fact be inclined to do this, but for the fact that we did not have a verified complaint. So this will be something that may be coming up later if things transpire the way they may or may not. I don't know. But I think it's important to note, because we're talking about Bentley's bid and the bid not going to Bentley. It's important to know that if you're going to say Bentley should be disqualified because they made a clerical error. But on the other hand, saying Tower should get the bid despite the fact that their bid was non-responsive, to me, that doesn't make sense. I mean, I see this all the time where you fail to submit what's required under the bid, your bid's thrown out, done. You don't get the chance to say, don't worry about it. I'm going to provide you that information after I'm awarded the project. How do you know that the subcontractor that they're utilizing is going to be qualified before you award them the project? So that's the point. That's why Beta included this in here specifically. And I'm sure they can speak to that and say, that's why they did it, right? And there's some other items that are required as well. Control subcontractor, similar type item, successfully completed the programming and installation of 2 ice rink construction projects that are similar to this project that were completed in the past 5 years. So similar to the previous. Contractors expansion joint subcontractor. Again, for all of these, none were submitted by Tower, but we did submit it. Our bid was responsive. That's the point of this exercise, just demonstrating to the committee that our bid was in fact responsive. And not only was it responsive, it ultimately was understanding the language that exists in the RFP that the bid items will control. Our bid was in fact the lowest bid and was also responsive.
Councilman Foley wishes to ask a question.
Mr. Jackson, am I correct?
Mr. Parmenter.
Parmenter.
Parmenter?
Oh, I'm sorry. So your point, if I may cut to the chase, is you were not awarded, your client was not awarded the bid because of the ruling. But you're saying that likewise, Tower should not have been awarded the bid because theirs was non-responsive.
That's correct.
So you're admitting that your client did not made a clerical error, and you're not disputing that. But what you're saying is, at the same time, the other bidder, Tower, was not responsive. So their bid was also faulty.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Just, I'm trying to clarify.
No, stop me if you have any questions. I'm happy to answer them.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, unfortunately, I didn't know I would be sitting in for Solicitor Walsh this evening.
Yes, sir.
I actually have another meeting that I absolutely must go to, but I know you're going to have Beta come up, but just two things, quick legal responses. Number one, no, Beta, in my determination, Beta had no obligation to reach out to Bentley or any other biddy with regard to their numbers, because the RFP already provides ahead of time what happens if there's a discrepancy in the numbers. It couldn't be any clearer. It basically says the unit prices will control, not the lump sum. That's there for everyone. Everyone knew about that. And I dare say that the council, or the city, will have a problem with tower construction if, in fact, we go against what our own bid document says. So that's why I feel so strongly about this. With regard to whether tower construction's bid was responsive or not, because it did not list the subcontractors, as Mr. Parmenter is indicating, in my opinion, though it was responsive, those aren't material in the same way as prices and numbers are. I'm sure Beta's going to respond to that for you. But bottom line, the council is within its authority to award the bid this evening. And again, thank you, and I apologize for having to leave.
Thank you, Solicitor. And the item you identified was the comparison of bids. Is Section D of the document that was supplied to everybody?
That is correct. 1.14D, as in David, and it states in there, and every bidder knew this, that whether they make an error, whether it's clerical, Scrivener, or whatever, this is the way it's going to come down. So there's really, the city, after the fact, after the bids have been opened, doesn't have the opportunity at that point to say, oh, we think you made a mistake. Did you? You can fix this now. That's what the issue is. And I'm sure that that's the issue that Tower would zero in on if, in fact, we didn't abide by our own RFP.
But I will say the city does have that ability, though. The city always has that ability to reach out for clarification. And I guess the point of this is, if the city is ultimately looking to get the best deal with the contractor who was the most responsive, in fact, the only contractor who was responsive under the RFP, that contractor is Bentley. It's the lowest price. It's the best bang for your buck for the city. For some reason, that gets thrown out the window because we're looking at the technical language of the bid documents. I know bid protest law. That is not a bar for you going and saying, hey, there was a mistake made here. Can you provide us, Bentley, clarification relative to your bid? Because it is odd that your lump sum is different from your bid item prices. To me, that seems like the most effective, certainly most cost-effective way to go about resolving this short of litigation. And another reason why, in my opinion, and this is what we discussed with the judge, without him making a decision, we may go back tomorrow, this should be tabled for a period of time. Keep in mind that on the bid agenda, the bid minutes, this wasn't supposed to happen until April 22nd. The project isn't supposed to commence until late May, early June. We have time to try and work this out and get the best deal for the city. So it makes no sense in my mind to rush this, jam this through at this hour when we have the ability to investigate this further and determine what is the best value respondent relative to this particular RFP.
Right, but nothing is going to change the language in the RFP. And as Jackson knows and will agree with me, the bid is awarded to the most qualified bidder, and that doesn't necessarily mean the lowest bidder. And in this instance, Beta has made the recommendation to you that the most qualified bidder is Tower for all the reasons we've been discussing.
And that's nothing that's been publicly disseminated, correct?
Yeah, the council has Beta's recommendation in front of it. Yes, and we can get you a copy of it.
Great, I'd appreciate that.
Just for the record, you have about 40 seconds of your 10-minute allocated time.
Thank you. I think that's about it. Yeah, at the end of the day, the last piece, and Attorney Fung touched on this, more reason why their bid was non-responsive. They didn't submit their MBE enterprise form. This is Tower. And they didn't present their statement of proposed subcontractors. So It's littered with omissions that render their bid non-responsive, and I don't see how the failure to include these items is not material. Your subcontractors, the individuals performing the work, are a very material component to the construction project. That's where construction projects get into issues, where you have unqualified personnel performing those jobs. And here, we're not going to know whether or not they're qualified until after the project is apparently awarded to Tower, if that's the course of action the city elects to take tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Parmenter. Councilman Sinapi.
So I'm incredibly uncomfortable with the prospect of discussing this in open session. It is explicitly a matter of litigation. It seems to be that all parties agree with that. And it's not appropriate for us to discuss our side or their side from a perspective of the pros and cons and legal strategy. It's just a remarkably bad idea. So I'm going to request we go into closed session. And in order to facilitate that, there's a couple ways to do it. You could vote just to get to the council with no recommendation. That way we can discuss it. And then at the council level, we can go into closed session via a vote, assuming a majority of people on the council wish to do so. But unless and until that happens, I would request respectfully that the council refrain from discussing the matter or from asking questions that imply your thought process on the matter.
Thank you, Councilman. I think what we'll do now is we'll give Beta an opportunity to explain the standards that were set forward, and then we will move forward from there. Thank you. Is there a representative from Beta here?
Randy Collins from Beta Group, vice president and the lead landscape architect on the project.
Thank you.
So when we looked through all the bids and we saw the clerical errors, and just to be clear, there was a couple of them, two of them being the most important ones, one on the base bid, as it's been already discussed with regard to not adding in those elements as it relates to those last few items. There was also a discrepancy in the number two alternative, where the unit price was listed as $875,000, I believe it was, but their total number was $5,000 in the total item number. So what we did is use that number, the number of the unit written out, to calculate the total bid, including all of the alternatives. We did notice that Tower had mentioned that there would be letting us know about MBE and also the contractors that were requested to have up front within 5 days of award. We would have to be satisfied with those contractors. If we were not satisfied with those contractors, we wouldn't be moving forward. So we chose to move forward with making the recommendation that we did based on the bid that was in hand that we used to calculate and determine what the bids were, and also looking at that particular item as well.
Thank you. And could you just give a brief description of how Beta became involved, how the city obtained you, and the purpose of why the city obtained your services?
Well, we were obtained through the process of going out for a request for proposal. I believe that was a little over a year ago. We submitted among a number of other folks. It was based on qualifications and bid price, and we were selected by the city to undertake the project.
Thank you so much. And do you have a final, so we move on with the council, do you have a final comment on your recommendations? No, what is your official recommendation for this council to take action?
Based on the magnitude of the discrepancy, based on the ability to be able to still not have any, to comment on the subcontractors and MBE, we feel confident in recommending Tower for the project.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman.
Mr. Chairman, I want to be on the record agreeing with Councilman Sinapi's position, and I object to these proceedings continuing, given the fact that it seems pretty apparent that there's going to be litigation coming from someone.
Understood. The litigation is already there. What we wanted to do is, since Beta, the comments were brought up by Beta, I wanted to clarify what Beta's purpose was, what their decision was, and their confidence in recommending the we move forward on this bid. After all, that's what we're here to do in the Finance Committee. All this happened at 3:30 this afternoon. So we're trying to get through the clerical, if you will, and now we're moving forward to the process where we as council, or we as a committee, can make a decision on a recommendation for this project. With that said, I'd like to hear if there's a presentation from the administration on the project so we can address this bid.
Good evening, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director.
Thank you.
I've heard all the discussion tonight. As for a presentation on the project generally, I can tell you that there are two new utility poles that have been set that you may have noticed in the back of the property. The National Grid, that's exciting. That's something you don't see to happen that early in the project. We know that the city has obligations with Greenwood Credit Union, which is exciting, advertising for this project. We know that we've compensated Beta already over $500,000 to complete their design permitting. It's ready for construction. We know what happens when we delay projects and what happens to cost goes up. When we first opened these bids, we're excited about it. Of course, we wanted to give it to Bentley. They're right next to us. It can't happen for the reasons discussed. I think it's very important to move forward and begin the project and work with Beta, who will oversee the construction. If anyone has anything specific, you can ask me. I can try to answer.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments from members of this committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Hi, Director.
Hi.
Question, what was the amount of time from when this went out to bid to when the responses were due?
February 5th was advertised. March 21st, bids were due.
Okay, great. Thank you. And it was referenced earlier that there was an anticipated date for when this would come before the council. Was that actually in the bid submission documents, or was that discussed verbally, or can you just clarify that?
Hello, Francis Gomez, purchasing agent. So to answer your question, what we do is when we put the bid tabulation together, we give a suggestion of when the bid might be going in front of council. Sometimes we get recommendations far beyond the two next council meetings from different departments. So this is a suggestion. It might be on this one, or it might be in the next one.
Okay. All right, great. And then,
Councilman, if I could elaborate on that
a little
bit more.
Mayor.
When we found out that it was going through, I called the council president because he had the authority to put it on this week's agenda. We saw no reason to lose another 3 weeks going into the spring construction season. So that's why it was not rammed through. It worked out.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see it, obviously, in our packet that we got about a week ago. And then it came up sort of at the end of last week. So given all the other information, just trying to reconcile what happened here. Okay. I think that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Question for the administration. So to clarify, the administration feels strongly that we should move forward tonight as opposed to waiting until April 22nd. But is there any particular reason to believe that the numbers would tend to change due to waiting a mere 3 weeks?
No, I don't believe so, but I'm not even sure that's the point. I think when a bid is submitted and there's errors in it, The bid is open. The numbers are there. Our process about relying on unit pricing is very clear in the bid, and I don't think it's fair to Tower to really sit with the company and renegotiate numbers, albeit clerical or other or otherwise, based on how our bid reads. We're in a worse position to not award to Tower. It's just going to delay everything.
Thank you. I'll keep a comment brief on this. I think that our city solicitor, I think that he put forth a well-reasoned argument here. I also think that Councilman Snappy and Lattiser have points that are well made here, that this may be the type of matter where, because it does involve pending litigation, it may be most appropriate for us to have an executive session to discuss this prior to voting on it. I'm a bit conflicted on this. I still very much have an open mind as to whether or not to proceed this evening or whether to award the bid as recommended by the administration or not. So to be clear, I am very much keeping an open mind on all of this. I also certainly agree with the proposition that while, of course, number one, following the law, following our requirements to go with the lowest qualified bidder as per the definitions, as per the instructions that all the bidders had to comply with here, it strikes me that there is the, in any litigation, there is a certain amount of potential for risk. And in this litigation in particular, we're talking about differences of over $100,000. So given that, where I am leaning at the moment, and I'm certainly persuadable on this, would be that it may be prudent for us to continue this until April 22nd. That would give an opportunity for us to have that more thorough discussion with the city solicitor in executive session. It would also, if the litigation were to proceed through a temporary restraining order or hearing on preliminary injunction or anything of that nature, that would also give an opportunity for the judiciary to weigh in. And that would greatly clarify for us all whether, say, the judge was able to provide an opinion on the merits as to the likelihood of Bentley's success in this matter. That would also give us some excellent guidance on that. So for those reasons, those are my comments for now. Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to clarify that, you know, this is a finance committee, and I understand what you're saying, Councilman. But the administration presented to us a bid to begin the work with a vendor to do the work for the skate. And so we're going to handle it in the finance committee side. We're going to go with what our duties allow us to do, and that's a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Well, within this committee, a recommendation, and then it can go from there. As far as the legalities, that I'm going to let the courts handle that. But as far as this committee is concerned, we're going to look at the project and the bids, and that's what we're going to focus on discussing now. There was some legal stuff from 3:30 today, but we're moving on. You know, so I understand what you're saying. Councilman Sinappi, I saw that you had your hand up as well.
Yeah, so we can go into executive session tonight if the desire is not to hold this. There's nothing stopping us from doing that as long as we properly take a vote, go into it for a proper reason, which we've already established. It would be litigation, which is one of the enumerated reasons under OMA. And then we have to properly seal the minutes afterwards, et cetera, et cetera. So it's nothing new. The fact that executive session wasn't posted on the agenda doesn't prevent us from going into it. In fact, for those of us with too much time on our hands, we can tell you that sometimes posting is actually frowned upon and can get you in trouble, depending on the circumstances present. Just ask Judge Savage. So that would be my preference if the committee's desire is not to hold it. And I plan on, again, requesting a vote for executive session once it comes before the full council, regardless of the recommendation, be it up or down.
All set? Thank you. Any further questions, comments from members of this council? Questions, comments from members of this council?
Mr. Chairman?
Who's that? Councilman Lattisaur.
So, as a follow-up to Councilman Sinapi, is it your intention to make a motion to go into executive session or continue with the process that you're doing now?
For me, and I'd like to also turn to the council president, again, for me, I want to reiterate, within the finance committee in the bid portion of this, the administration has sent us an item for bid, and the committee can make a recommendation and the council can then follow up. I think our legal counsel has given us a very strong, stern recommendation. So, you know, and I understand that they're, you know, and I don't mean this in any insulting way whatsoever. There are a lot of lawyers putting on their lawyer's cap. I'm not one, you're not one. So my thing is, I'm looking at the bid, the recommendation, and the listening to the recommendation from our legal counsel. And that's how I'm seeing it. So I'll ask my thought is ask the committee for a recommendation and then send it to the council. But as far as the legalese, that's already been established in court, and as was stated by our counsel as well as the company's counsel, a decision wasn't made, but a request to hold was denied. So that means we're moving forward.
So, Mr. Chairman, I concur with you that I am not an attorney. You are not an attorney, but I am the only contractor, at least that I'm aware of, on this city council, who has bid hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs. And I have never, ever seen a vendor allowed to provide required documents in the bid package after the bid was awarded. Now, that comes from a contractor. What do I know? Thank you.
I'm not aware of any documents being awarded after we haven't voted on it yet.
Excuse me. I'm talking about the bid process. But in any event, let's see what you decide as far as Councilman Sinapi's position. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman.
Just going to reiterate my point. Please don't discuss the merits up or down of either side. I know I'm not the solicitor, but I would likely be made a party to this action if there was an action / if there's a continued action. I happen to be a lawyer. I do open meetings acts all the time. I do a bunch of other stuff too. Please, for the love of God, don't discuss the merits of either side.
Thank you. Council President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You asked my thoughts. So we're in committee. I think that you can run your committee how you want. You want to move forward, we move forward. I would recommend maybe do a PCR on this, pull it off the consent calendar. If it's, is it on the consent calendar or is this a standalone? I would like to hear from the public as well to make sure. Then if that's what the committee wants to do, you are more than able to make a recommendation. And then we'll move forward with the rest of the agenda. And then when it comes to the full council meeting later this evening, Mr. Sinapi and everyone else can say. So right now, the only three people here that can make a recommendation at this time are the three of you. So I think that as chairman, you have the discretion of how you would like to move forward. And then there will be obviously a second opportunity for this to be discussed when it goes to the full council
on whatever recommendation or whatever position that the finance committee decides this evening. That was the intent. Thank you, Mr. President. Are there any further comments, questions on the bid from members of this council? I will now open to the members of the public. Are there any comments, questions on this bid from members of the public?
Council President, just a question through the chair to Bader, if you don't mind. I couldn't hear one part where he was talking about the non-responsiveness. I'd like to know whether or not they actually spoke with Tower or had any communications with Tower about that portion, because, you know, that goes to what's fair is fair.
Would a representative from Bader like to respond?
We had no communication with either of the bidders.
Thank you. Are there any further questions, comments from members of the public on this bid? Is there a recommendation from members of this committee? Oh, yeah, I apologize. Thank you. Give me one moment. May I have a PCR on bid 2024-322?
PCR 3324.
PCR 3324?
That's correct.
Thank you. Is there a motion on the bid, formerly bid 2024-322, now PCR 33-24?
Yeah, Chairman, for purposes of discussion and
yes.
and further to various points that have been raised, I would move this to the full council without a recommendation.
Second. Thank you. The recommendation is moved to the full council without a recommendation. I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman?
Mr. President.
So just for clarification for everyone here and following us, what we have done here, what the committee has done here, is we have now pulled off this particular bid off of the consent calendar. So there is the finance consent calendar. There's a number of bids that call after that. This will now be a separate item, which will be discussed at the full council meeting later this evening. So the next item that they take is back on to the consent calendar. So now the City Hall Plaza site improvement is its own standalone bid. It is off the consent calendar. That's what that PCR means.
And Mr. President, for clarification, if there is a request by a member of the council that to have executive session to discuss the events of today, that can be taken at that time?
Once we get into the full council and
yes,
an
sir.
Item comes up, any council member, the full council, all nine members are able to make comments, motions, and that's at the time they can do that.
Thank you.
And may I please?
Please.
Just one more clarification. If we had in this committee put forward a motion to hold, we wouldn't have had the opportunity to discuss in the full
right.
council.
Right.
It would just be moved hold.
It would
so
be held.
We can still take an action up to and including that when we discuss with the full council. Thank you.
Thank you. And as was said, that this, now that it's a PCR, it's still an active bid, if you will, with no recommendation that will come later on the floor. Item number two, bid 2024-427, repairs at Warburton Arena. Good evening.
Good evening. Christy Moretti, Public Works.
If you don't mind speaking up a little, thank you.
Christy Moretti, Public Works. Public Works is requesting to make repairs at the ice arenas, particularly for Warburton, in the amount of $184,867.27. The scope of work is to replace the two compressors that run the Warburton Arena. They will also replace a glycol pump that needs to be that is not working. We have a heater to put on the oil, where it skims back And I know there's one more thing. The skim and the 1 year maintenance on the Thayer compressors.
Thank you. Can you give us a brief, just tell us real quick, how old are the compressors that are currently operating right now?
With the exception of one on Thayer, which was just recently replaced last calendar year, they're 21 years old.
And how many compressors are operating?
All four are operating. The ones on Warburton are, they either need a rebuild, which is, I included the quote for the council's review just to show that we can have that scope of work done for $81,000, mm-hmm. or we can replace both of them for $123,000. With the amount of issues that we've had with this rink in particular, it only makes more sense to replace them mm-hmm. and then kind of start fresh, at least with that component, which is basically the heartbeat of what happens in that rink.
Understood. So the one that was replaced is going to stay, and the three others are going to be replaced.
No.
Okay.
So the rinks run independently of each other, but they mm-hmm. have the same equipment. So there's one for Thayer with two compressors and one rack for Warburton with two compressors. So Warburton will get two brand new compressors.
Yep.
Thayer has one new compressor and one compressor that's original.
Great. That was one of the questions that actually was brought to my attention. Thank you for the clarification. So if I may, are there any questions, comments from members of this committee?